On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, we're joined by Steve Schembaum, the founder and president of Game On Nation. Steve will be in studio to talk about communicating in the digital age and tell us two stories about his acting days. Stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome. I'm David Portnowitz.
And my name is Graham Potter.
And welcome to episode 11.
11. Take it to 11.
Heads in the Cloud.
11's got a very significant ring to it.
Turn it all the way up.
Yeah, turn it all the way up.
Today we're going to be joined by a really special guest, Steve Schembaum, who runs Game On Nation, based here in Bradenton, Sarasota.
Somebody you know.
Yeah, and we're going to be joined in studio, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. Kind of cool thing. That's a rarity. So.
And Steve owns a company that isn't really in our space per se. They're not in the UC space, but they're in the communications industry.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I think a lot of that is more about the interpersonal stuff. And
relationship building.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
And basically, you know, the building block for all of sales, right, which is... How do you connect with someone?
Yeah.
So Steve's company does that. We just had him in to do a training here with our team. Couldn't recommend him or his company, enough. They're fantastic people. Really, really good. I think everyone came in. I had gone through the training, having worked with him in the past.
Sure.
I knew what to expect. Comes in.
You're prepped.
And I'm trying to tell some of the sales folks, it's going to be great. It's exciting. It's a lot of
Everybody's
fun.
Everybody's a bit nervous.
And everyone's we're going to be doing trust
falls. Not another one of those. Yeah.
But every, 2 minutes into it, everybody's hooked. Yeah. And afterwards, I've gotten emails. I loved it. Thanks so much. So,
I didn't get an invite.
Yeah, it was started out small. I didn't want to bring in the big hitters until later. I wanted to make sure that the product was refined.
Okay.
So, but I know. Looking forward to having a conversation about Steve about communications, the industry, social media.
Yeah, he's worked with some pretty cool companies and organizations. Yeah. From motor racing to kind of the sports world, and it's just fascinating. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I want to talk to him a little bit and get his take about how to communicate in today's digital space, right? Like, how do brands communicate? How should employees be communicating? What, what do you say on social media? There's so many like little pitfalls, right? I mean, we've seen so many brands try and fail.
Yeah.
You know, they put an ad out. I'm thinking about this Dove ad that kind of went out. I don't know if you saw that recently.
No, I didn't.
They probably spent a ton of money and research and time putting this ad out, and then it came out and it was a total failure. I won't get into it. You can Google it. It's interesting. You have to be so cautious. Cautious, but also risk taking at the same time. There's like this push and pull.
There is an argument that says if you're not kind of doing that sort of thing and pushing it a little bit, then you're not really doing anything. You're standing still, basically, at the end of the day. So you got to speculate and accumulate a little bit.
Got to take risks, but you got to take very calculated risks.
Yeah, but that's down to your team, I guess, knowing your market and knowing your audience and what have you. So,
He's got a unique perspective, having traveled all over the country, delivering this to different companies, to big sports teams, to athletes, to military. I mean, so he's got it. He's got a very interesting perspective. He's been doing it for 20 years. Former actor.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I saw him listed on
Google
IMDb.
He's been in Will and Grace.
Look at his IMDb listing. You'll see him there. Yeah, from California as well, I believe.
And transplant.
Educated in the Midwest, in Illinois, Chicago. Where I grew up, Chicago, many years ago.
He's a great guy, and I look forward to that conversation with him, and just a little bit more about what he sees and how the industry is going. But what's been going on in your world, Graham? What are you working on?
Pretty much since the last time we spoke, which wasn't that long ago. A lot of focus on the contact center we're still doing. We're into some good stages with that at this point in time. We're actually getting the product into our own support organization. We're going to go out to a couple of partners very, very soon. Many things happening there and a lot going on around the endpoint space that I'm involved in as well. So a lot of projects, a lot of product projects going on. And how about yourself?
Any cool endpoint stuff? Anything interesting?
Yeah, lots of new devices coming on stream. As you know, we started a relationship off earlier this year with VTech, and we've got some other devices or another device from VTech coming out fairly soon. A nice color touchscreen device.
Nice.
But having seen Les, who's sitting behind me and in our studio here, along with Frederick.
I know, we always forget to thank them.
We forget to thank them.
They're the heroes, the mainstay
of this podcast series. Yeah. So Les has been doing, so for our listeners, some very cool video material for some of these tutorials for the endpoints, and also some new documentation in some new styles. So some very cool, always stuff going on. Always stuff going on.
Yeah. And in my world, man, just tons of events, some new material, some new stuff we're working on, planning for next year. Always.
Never stops.
Yeah, it's good. All good stuff.
Great. Fascinating to see.
Yeah, so
Q4 is always a real fascinating time. Yeah. Lots happening. Gets to a, you know,
stuff is popping.
Oh yeah.
I can't say I edited myself there. We don't have the explicit tag next to our podcast, so I have to watch my language.
Careful
there.
Saying things like popping. You've got your pop filter on your phone, so we want to hear you clearly. So anyway, it's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, episode 11. We don't see enough of each other.
No.
Other than these,
well, I come in every day. You don't. So that's
well,
the
that
problem.
Doesn't mean anything. You don't hold that against me. So
I guess we could video conference.
Yeah, we could.
We have that capability.
You know what? Let's do that. That'll be a unique experience.
Every morning, 8 a.m., I'll just pop up Graham.
We'll do the next podcast, and we'll do it with some video on there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Steve's here, so why don't we bring him in, and we'll start our conversation off with Steve, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
See you on the other side.
All right. We are joined now by Steve Schembaum, the founder, the CEO of Game On Nation here based in Bradenton, a local company.
What's the name? What's the surname? How do we pronounce it?
Schembaum.
I don't want to make a mistake, so I get that right.
Got it. Perfect.
Schembaum.
Pretty tree in German.
Schembaum. Is that right?
Schembaum, yeah, pretty tree.
Do you speak German?
No, I don't. I speak my last name. That's the closest I can come from German.
Anyways, we're joined by Steve here, an in-studio guest, our second in-studio guest, which is fantastic.
Without any appetizers or crudités?
No, we didn't.
Or blue?
I did actually just give him Chicken Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out. So sponsorship.
I got fed. Yeah, right. I feel awesome. Comfortable.
But no, Steve, a friend of mine, goes back to my days when I was working at IMG Academy here in Bradenton, and just invited Steve in to do a training with our sales and marketing folks, and we really enjoyed that. And if you want to check out Steve's website, you can Google it. Google Steve Schembaum. You'll find unbelievable pictures of him.
I've watched the videos, actually.
Yeah.
I was fascinated.
He is an unbelievable man. Of upstanding character.
Oh, wow.
And he's humble and he's blessed.
So the sessions you did with our team here today, firstly, I want to make a point, right? Yeah. I didn't get invited.
Graham wasn't there.
I didn't get invited to that, no. And I don't know who's running the thing.
I was.
You know, mentioning no names.
I don't like to drop names, but David Porter was running it.
I'll take that up after after this session. But how did that go with our team?
I loved it. I mean, they did a great job.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Good. Yeah.
We used some improvisation games to help kind of bring some truth to the surface, try to add some tangible techniques to help us communicate more effectively. We had some good authentic laughter.
Yeah. Making people laugh with, but not at. So,
nice.
Yeah, awesome.
Graham, you've done your research.
It's kind of cool the way that spins out.
Oh,
so,
I love that you remember that. Yeah, it's like a huge phrase that we threw out years ago. We didn't think it was stick, and laugh with, not at, has become like sort of our bully seminar. Like that. Cool. That's, you can gain some great jokes, and you'll also gain some friends if you can laugh with people. If you laugh at them, we kind of, the guard goes up.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, so I walked past a couple of times, saw you all kind of doing some cool stuff in there. So
we will be bringing Game On back. This is just the first of many sessions. So
I
digress. Let's not go into that. But it's interesting because Steve and runs a company that's helping teach communications. We clearly are a communications company. Well, we hope we are anyway. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was just some synergies there. And I think one of the things that people struggle with today is, and we talked about this with Marcia a few weeks ago, is how do you communicate in the world today? And how do you not communicate to the extremes, but communicate to the masses? And sort of how does that flush out? And I know, Steve, you guys are out there in the field. So what are you seeing? What are you hearing? How do you sort of deal with that?
Well, you and I talked about this sort of offline a little bit. And, Graham, you're originally from England. Yeah.
Originally.
So
yeah, many years
Graham
ago.
And I are, we are in sort of the same generation. I'm 47 now. And I think one of the things I'm fascinated by, youngish, is how do we focus on what keeps us similar, what keeps us in common versus the differences. So I'm seeing a ton of books out there, like what the millennial crew wants, what the Generation X wants, what Generation Y wants. And I truly had to Google my own age to find out what generation I was in. Like, I'm Generation X towards the end of it.
Right.
And I'm more fascinated if we want to focus on start-to-start communication or game-on communication. Like, I'm more interested in, like David, you said, like, where the masses lie. I think the extremes get all the attention because they're loud. But I would like to know, like, millennial, Gen X, Gen Y, IY, whatever you want to call it, what do we have in common? Because if we can figure out that, then we can reach lots of people. We can reach the masses.
So how did you find the group participated here specifically? People got really engaged and enjoyed the sessions?
Yeah, or? I think the buy-in is similar to like what we're trying to do as companies, which is you first have to earn the right. You know, you can't just dive in if you're in sales or dive in, David, if you're posting things on social media and all of a sudden like blast people without earning the right to get to that level. So, you know, the first 7 minutes is fascinating because everyone's sitting there. There's two rows of chairs. That's it.
There's a little concern. They don't kind of know what's going to go on. Are we going to get picked on? What's going to happen? You know,
and they should.
Sort of thing. Yeah, that's
I think they should. I think our guard is up. You know, I think we're being played. I think we're being gamed, especially in our current like sort of political climate. There's a lot of extreme and a lot of divisiveness. So, yeah, you watch people walk in the room, and I think it's reflective of what's going on with our customers.
Yeah,
people are guarded up. Are you Fios? Are you Verizon? Are you? What are you going to do? Are my cable going to go out in a week? Are you going to give me good customer service? So you have to earn that trust. So the first exercise we do is a very simple exercise where you just have two people connect and they count to three, one, two, three, and then you add a layer to that. And I don't want to go into detail. Exactly. But the point being is, once you earn that trust, then like the sky's the limit.
And I think it's pretty applicable to our business, to most businesses. I mean, you know, when someone hears, you know, a business pitch, you know, it's always, there's always a feeling of a catch, right? Like, what is the catch? What are you really trying to sell me? And to Steve's point, until you earn the trust of the customer, then, you know, that's when you can actually have a relationship and you can actually sort of make a sale, right? I mean, the customer is as much buying the person that's selling it to them as they are buying the product, right?
Right.
I mean, they're buying it on a relationship. And so in Steve's training is, in Game On's training is all about, you know, how do you communicate more effectively? How do you build those relationships? How do you maintain those relationships? And how do you communicate back and forth where you both feel comfortable? And I think when you look at what's going on today, I think you kind of spoke to it in your session. It's like, there's a lot of this sort of built-in uncomfortableness, and it's not necessary, right? I mean, like, there's so much more we have in common than we have separate, and I think it's hard to get to that right now.
Don't you think a lot of that, you know, is around, we talked about a bit about a generation and whatever, a lot of that's around people's interpersonal skills or what they're brought up with in terms of, you know, their comfort and ease at talking in certain situations.
100%,
And whatever. And one of the things I see you doing in a session like that is bringing that out in people. A lot we bring people on into the company. You know, being one of the older statesmen, Les is another one in this company, and we're surrounded by a lot of younger folks.
Mm-hmm.
We all naturally assume that you hire people and you bring them in like that, they're going to have those skill sets. They don't. No. They just don't. And
but if you can model, Graham, that leaders, if we can model authentic
and make them feel at ease and put them in situations where you've got to do that. And you've got to use those skill sets. So I can see that being extremely valuable. So
I'll give you an example, actually. Like before the podcast started, you know, for the listeners, we were, Graham and I and David were joking around, and I was like, wow, this energy is phenomenal. I wish we could just start rolling. And one of the things, Graham, you being from England, I'm being from West Covina, California, but we connected on, I randomly, listener, just said to Graham as a joke, kind of like, oh, I watched the Olympics and Sebastian Coe. Well, you immediately lit up. And what I didn't know was, you actually had run with Sebastian Coe. In fact, you shortened his name to Sebco, which David and I thought was cool.
Graham knows everybody, and he's got a story with everybody.
That boy's well connected.
but my point being is, if you look at that from the lens of being leaders in a business, like, where are our employees Sebastian Coes? Like, we call them coins.
Yeah.
Like, what are the things about everyone on our team? And you can actually then play this into your customers as well. But first, starting with your team, like, what are the things about your teammates that give them value? Like, what are their coins? So Sebastian Coe could be a coin of yours. Being a track star could be a coin of yours. And that transcends any generational gap. Like, I've never had an issue teaching coins, and I've taught coins for 20 years. And 8-year-olds understand coins, metaphorically. 80-year-olds understand coins. The British understand coins, and the American understand coins.
So what you're using is what
pounds,
I would
right?
have typically done. Pounds. You know, I've been in the service world for years. I'm no longer a part of that now in this company, but I grew up in the service world, part of British Telecom, or the post office was years ago, many, many different companies. And I've been put in many, many situations, especially as an executive of a company, and you're it. You know, you're in a room full of 20, 30 people, and you've got a customer there with a major issue, and you're the man on point, and everybody's kind of looking at you, and, you know, the customer's got this major issue. I would always, when I walk in the room, mm-hmm. I have a distinctive advantage, right? I talk funny. So that for me, immediately, you know, is an icebreaker. Sure. And so that's a coin for me. Yeah. You know, I can say.
Absolutely.
The second thing I would do is I'd find some common ground.
There it is.
That might be sports. That might be travel. That might be families. It could be anything.
And that's so collecting.
I walked into multiple situations mm-hmm. like that mm-hmm. and completely diffused the situation. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I could walk in and engage a conversation. I did it with a guy in Indianapolis years ago. And I walked in the room. And he turned around to me and said, "Oh, you're a Brit. I really appreciate you taking the time to come all this distance to come and see me. I come from Chicago."
Right.
So I didn't change his yeah, view of the world with that. And I said, "I only wish you'd have invited me last week." He said, "Are you a motor racing fan?" Indy 500.
Boom.
We're straight into a conversation. Yeah. We get to the tricky point in the meeting where the guy was all bent out of shape with all these problems.
Sure.
I leant across the table to him and I said, "You and I will have that conversation over lunch, all right?" He went, like that. Yeah. We walked into the restaurant. They sat me down next to the guy. We had a conversation about the issue. I gave him several months' maintenance for free.
Perfect.
Fixed the issue. He said, "That's more than generous. Thanks very much. What about blah, blah, blah?" Yeah. And we ended up motor racing for the rest of the luncheon and whatever. So your coins are what I would use as items in my bag to kind of diffuse situations in. And again, that comes with experience. That comes with, you know, knowing how to open that kind of dialogue up and what to look for and what have you. And I don't think we spend enough time as elders in companies making sure our people have that kind of ability to use those skills.
That's
I really
it.
Do.
You so. Nailed it. And you just explained coins without even really knowing it earlier. You just truly explained coins to like.
I'll do that all the time.
I'd like to hire you. No, that's.
Well, he only works here like 3 days a week. So
but it's also something we talk about a lot, which is like the idea of the word authentic you hear all the time in the conversation and communication. Yeah. It's a poster term. I want to go from like acting authentic to being authentic. And that's the difference. And I think it starts with leaders. I think it starts with us. Like, do we have the courage to walk across the room? Do you have the courage to like connect with that person, earn the right to then have him for lunch and talk about like that situation and undo a situation? So these things to me are not technology based. These things to me are relationship based.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need to focus on. That's what I like to focus on to kind of get an audience to buy in so they can listen to more of the message.
So a bit about your background, Steve. You were born and raised in California?
I grew up in a town called West Covina, California, outside of L.A. And then I was an actor, not as a child actor, but I was an actor after I went to college in Northwestern.
Yeah, so you have a pretty decent IMDb listing as well. So
That's what they say.
I've been on there recently. It's fantastic. It's much better than mine.
Probably not as good as my daughter's. My daughter has
Graham's daughter is a costume designer.
Oh, she's a costume designer. In Los Angeles? Or?
She lives in Cayucas, right on the Pacific coastline. If you're right down there near Morro Bay, that kind of
it's
area.
Beautiful.
But she travels around at the minute. She's in Chicago filming. But she's filmed. If you check her out, Emma Potter. A plug for my daughter there, Emma Potter.
Well, I thought this was about me, not Emma. This is
I'm getting awkward.
I'm getting awkward.
You're going to walk out the door.
This is my audition, not Emma. Sorry, listeners. That my mic got hot.
And Les is here. Yeah.
Turn him down. Please turn him down.
Every podcast I do, she takes over.
So you live in California. Yeah. Then what took you out of California?
I went to college in Chicago, Northwestern, studied theater, and then I got into improv. I love that. Saw it as a vehicle to teach, really. Right. I never really wanted to be a pro actor, a Hollywood actor, but I went back to L.A. I worked. I wasn't any happier when I was working versus when I wasn't working. Right. And when you have that dilemma, you need to rethink. An acting teacher once said to me, if you can do something other than, if you find a passion other than acting, do it. And I don't think she was trying to be mean-spirited, and I did have a passion. And that was really using improvisation and game theory, game dynamics, game mechanics, interactivity, leveling up, all of these strange terms that video games use. Mm-hmm. I use them to teach corporations and military and sports teams. And that's what really I'm excited about. And I found myself in Bradenton in 2003.
Why Bradenton?
IMG Academy.
Yeah.
Nick Bollettieri reached out and we were doing some training with Pete Sampras. Pete had trained at IMG. I thought, man, I would love to be in an environment where there were young Petes. Well, where is that? Well, it's Bolotary IMG Academy here in Bradenton. So I moved here in 03. We were at IMG for 10 years teaching communication leadership, character development. And in 2013, we moved on to kind of grow throughout the country. And at the same time, I met my wife there, which was amazing. So we live in Bradenton. She's from here. And we have two little girls, 5 and 3. And I live in Northwest Bradenton. And my three-year-old swallowed a quarter 2 days ago. Wait, so what?
My granddaughter did exactly the same thing.
See, I need to hear this. Yeah. David, you can go ahead and walk out. Graham, did she pass the quarter?
We don't know. I believe so. Yeah. Actually, I have to go and research that with my son. Yeah.
Graham, the answer, let's try that again. Let's try that again.
I can remember sitting there.
Yeah,
and,
let's go ahead and say yes, she did. Graham, did she pass the quarter? And is she a good, upstanding grandchild?
She's a fine grandchild, Steve. Fine grandchild.
Right.
Yeah.
She has one
that gives you an
now.
Idea of my vintage as well, Steve.
Yeah,
so,
your vintage. That's the better word for wisdom. Yeah, I know
old.
That.
She did lose a leg in that accident, right?
Old chap.
Yeah, my 3-year-old swallowed a quarter. It's better than a penny. How does that happen? You have coins in your hand, and you're 3, and you
so
put them in your
you
mouth.
Talking about coins all the time. Ah, probably triggered this damn thing off.
I didn't mean literally. 3-year-olds don't understand metaphor. So yeah, she and the nice news, listeners, I know you really want to hear about this, is a penny would be worse because you don't want copper
body.
So the second worst than penny is quarter. So we're the penultimate worst right now. And then third would be nickel. And what you really want your children to swallow are dimes. Is really what this podcast is about. Dimes are the least. Actually, you don't want them to swallow any coins. Let's just wrap this
probably,
particular
probably
section.
What were you doing as a parent? Weren't you watching your child?
I'm teaching the world how to communicate. Don't do as I say, not as I do. It's not about my children. It's about helping companies.
Let's get back to communication.
We are communicating.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Steve, is I think it's an important topic. But how do you instruct or what is your message in communicating specifically in social media? Like where do you see that sort of fit in for businesses? Like how should business? I mean, like I follow Steve and he's a great follow on Twitter. And you do comment on a lot of businesses like their reactions to things and like sort of what they're doing, how they're saying it, and I'm always interested in that because, you know, my team runs the business account for Star to Star. It's like, do we want to comment on something? And, yeah. How do you see that? How do you be authentic if you're a business online? I mean, it's very difficult.
Well, I'm not an expert in this, but one exercise.
Well, I would disagree.
One exercise I like is to like take your, so each company to be authentic, David, I think we have to figure out like what's the narrative of your company. So like what's authentic to Star to Star is going to be very different than what's authentic to Game On. Like for instance, with Game On, we're a communication company. Our main product is live training. We do some digital training, but we're also coming from a lens of just, you know, working in the military, pro sports and business sector. We're also in like well-being and inclusion. So that's another sector we're in. So with that said, our narrative has to always be above the water in that I never want to lean on any inappropriate. I also want to kind of almost avoid snarky. Like I'm really sensitive about being deceptive or judgmental because you can get a lot of funny jokes out of like retweeting some gnarly stuff out there. But so to answer your question as succinctly as I can, David, I would say for any small business or even person, almost do a personality assessment
of your brand. Yeah.
And arc that out. For example, if you know, let's use Star to Star. You know, what have decision makers get together and like put the Star to Star logo on a chair and analyze it from a personality. Like, are you the leading man? Are you the leading woman? Are you the ingenue? Are you controversial? Are you always supportive? Are you always posting other articles? Are you a thought leader? Mm-hmm. Are you constantly? Are you promoting your resellers? Mm-hmm. Is that part of your narrative? And I think once you create the rules of engagement, then you can't break those because the minute you break the rules of, if you're a horror film. And all of a sudden, after like 3 months of horror film, you come in and you're like this weird commedia dell'arte. The audience does not trust you as much. So, and one of the personalities could be just eclectic. You could be a whole, sort of potpourri of. But I really think the business needs to first, or the individual needs to first identify what is their narrative. Like I have two, so I have my Twitter, and then we have Game On, mm-hmm. and even that is different. Like I'm not going to post my children's pictures on my business account, but I might post some family pictures with protection of privacy on my personal because that's more my narrative versus my business.
But how do you So how do you balance that? So it's like, you know, you're a company with employees, they have their own social media accounts. How do you, I mean, are you concerned about regulating them? Or do you think they, you know, they're sort of their own accounts, and, or are they representing the brand at all times?
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
I guess this goes back to sort of what happened just recently with ESPN and Jemele Hill.
Totally.
I mean, is she representing the brand at all times, or is she free to speak her mind? I think that's a difficult conversation to have. And you can have a social media, you know, guidebook, and you can have, these are the standards, but I think sometimes you got to treat it on a case by case basis. It's difficult.
I agree. And I think the larger the company you have, the more personality you have, meaning the more challenges you're going to have. Mm-hmm. And also the larger the company, the more resources you're going to have to go, well, that didn't work for my, you know, for my company, we're a team of six, and then we have eight consultants. So the six that I'm working with my team, I can't dictate exactly what they write. I don't think that would be fair. What I can do is try to hire good people.
Yeah.
And if I hire good people, then they will understand the concept of boundaries.
Right.
And they will understand, like, I think it would be really a delicate road to go down if I turn to one of my employees and said, hey, I saw your personal Facebook post and I don't like what you posted. I don't agree with it. Like, that's a really slippery slope.
Yeah.
But I think if you create some soft boundaries, and also I think it's beyond, before that, David, I think we just, the people you're hiring for your company, they need to know the personality and brand and narrative. And if someone like goes way rogue, that maybe that they didn't understand the mission of the company. You can't have a company where, like, our mission is to improve the world, and then you have someone within the company who's blasting, like, inappropriate,
right,
vile things.
Boundaries around that.
Yeah. And then I just
I mean, a lot of it does come down to common sense and, like, okay, does this work in the narrative of our brand, right? Yeah. I just think it's in today's space, in the communication side, it's so hard to navigate. I mean, you never know. I mean, we've seen so many times where brands have tried to do good and try to put something online that has just completely backfired. And I feel like as a marketer, I feel bad, you know, for companies that, you know, they probably put a ton of focus group research and they've looked into this ad.
Yeah, just completely.
Yeah, look in left field. It's completely.
Let's look at not going to this rabbit hole, but you're right on, David. Like, let's look at just sort of what's going on with Hollywood and this hearty sort of this firestorm with the Harvey Weinstein at all, by the way, because it's not just one individual. I look at some of these PR firms of some of these celebrities. I'm like, you just lit another building on fire.
Right. Yeah.
And so
you're not helping.
You're not. But it goes back to something I think that's really to the heart of this is, are you being authentic?
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the Jemele Hill, and I'm just kind of gathering my thoughts on this one, guys. So listen, if you're a viewer of this podcast, you're really all in. Like, you're like
actually,
so committed.
That's another dimension we get out of this.
Yeah, we got to say listener, not viewer. Yeah. But here's what else I'd say. Let's go back to the Jemele thing. To be real here, as opposed to me giving you these catchphrase answers. If you have an employee who has a position that's really strong, like, there also needs to be room for respectful discourse.
Absolutely.
And that, I think, is something we're losing. So first of all, you might have employees who have a different take, who have obviously should have different political views and different views of the world because your lens is different. I think that we also have to be careful that we don't start getting so rigid where we don't have an opportunity for respectful discourse. So if an employee like Jemele Hill posts something, instead of like, you're fired because your advertisers tell you that she needs to be on leave for 2 weeks, you actually maybe explore it on social media and say, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
And you turn it into a dialogue if that's your platform.
Yeah, I think brands are better off being transparent than not. And I think a lot of times they get in their own way by trying to be a little bit obtuse about what they're talking about and trying to be stay away from a controversy when sometimes this came out and said, look, we're doing this because we're trying to make more money.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just be honest about it. Like, everybody knows, okay, you're making a decision because, oh, this is the decision we've made because they broke this policy. No, you're making a decision because it's pissed off an advertiser or whatever the case is, and that's your source of revenue. I think if brands came out and did those kinds of things, there'd be less controversy about it. I just think the more transparency, the more authentic you get, the more people respond to it.
I think you need to give the viewer of the content more credit. And I think we don't always.
Yeah.
And we think that we're lemmings.
Assume they're smarter than they are.
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch gears.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter swallowed a quarter. Oh, no, we did that already.
We've done that.
Sorry, Graham.
We've done that one.
Another gear.
We got the pets thing to come to.
And we've
got the radical sports.
I also want you to bring up your daughter who has a better IMD. Oh, no, you already did that.
You're reading that backwards. that script you've got, you're reading it backwards. Turn the page for him, David.
I'm not being competitive. Being competitive.
Turn the page for him, David. Turn the page
all
for
right,
him.
Man.
So of all of these companies you've come out to see and different, I see you know, from NASCAR to other field sports and that type of thing. What's been the most fascinating experience you've seen? Sebco.
My favorite is yours.
What's the most fascinating experience that you've had? And why?
My passion right now from a group perspective is we're doing a lot of work in the military.
Right.
So I wouldn't give you one. There's not one client that's like these folks jump off the page. I mean, there's been unique experiences across the board, but this military world specifically, we do work with Wounded Warriors and USO.
I bet that's
and
rewarding.
It's really rewarding. That's the key word, Graham, is like they are needed and they are deserving audiences. We have a lot of veterans coming back, and our work that we're doing with them is to help them connect back with their spouse after being deployed for four different, battles, and to help them transition back into the job placement world and job interviews and overall
in
just
society in general.
I would, when you asked the question, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be a tough one. And I realized, it's not for me right now. The military world, we do a lot of work with Joint Special Operation Command in Fort Bragg, and with right locally here in Tampa with the Special Operation SOCOM at MacDill, and it's just an amazing group of men and women who help protect us. And it's funny, you get into that world and there's really no political divide. There's really not a lot of discussion on politics.
Right.
It's really interesting. Isn't that funny? Here's like the heart of the protection, yet they're the last ones that want to talk and get divided by politics. They're literally trying to survive after helping us survive.
Yeah, good for you. That's a kind of cool thing to do. So,
thank you for your service. Another
question for you.
Yeah.
You know the name Starter Star. We give all of our products a kind of a star name. It's a thing around here. It's the way we are.
We embrace the
constellation architecture. We're kind of spacey geeks. And whatever. You may have seen a fair bit of space memorabilia.
I walked in and apparently David told me that the owner is.
So one of the questions that I've been thinking about for so long. Yes. There's nothing on our website about it. How would you climb into a space rocket?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that question, Graham. It brings up a lot of issues that I'd like to address.
Yeah. See,
is that personal?
No, that was insincere.
I really honestly don't understand
this question. We're going to unlayer it right now.
Okay.
David feels inadequate with this piece.
We're not audio. We're not audio taping this section. Right?
I don't think so.
No, okay. This is staying in.
This is stop.
This is staying here.
What's this weird mic in front of my face? How do you get into a space?
Yeah, I just fascinated.
Yeah, I would... Of the space.
Can you demonstrate that?
Yeah, I would.
Your watch is dropped on the floor.
I put it off because I didn't want it to be clicking against the table. Plus, it's a Rolex. It's very expensive.
Is that right?
No.
I'm a Breitling man.
No. I would get into the spaceship very carefully.
Yeah.
I said that with a question. Let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. I would get in very carefully.
Yeah.
I would.
Because of all the instrumentation? And
and just because I'm not a trained astronaut.
Bump into the gear lever or something like that?
Here's the thing, Graham. If I can be totally transparent.
I have
trouble getting into my SUV.
Really?
I click it and it locks when I want it to open and it opens when I want it to lock. Therefore,
sounds like it's possessed to me.
Yeah. The spaceship thing is a little intimidating to me.
Yeah,
what is the root of this question?
Is it, Graham, how would you, let me rephrase this. How would you get into
I'd
a spaceship?
I'd probably roll into it.
You would roll into it.
Just like I roll into my Corvette.
Corvette.
Yeah. Did I mention that?
You dropped the car. You'll pick it up later.
Did I mention it was a red one? So.
Matthew McConaughey told me never to drop names.
All right, before we
touché. Touché. Yes.
Anna, that's for you. That's Graham's daughter. You'll never beat me.
Emma,
IMDb.
Not Anna. Get the name right, please.
Emma. They're all the same. Before we end, we always have to ask our guests about their pets. Steve, do you have any animals?
You must. Yeah,
You say that. I don't. I have a 5.5 and a 3-year-old. However, the other daughter, the one that didn't swallow the quarter, her name, I won't give her name out for privacy purposes.
Emma.
We'll call her Emma.
Yeah.
She found a lizard last night, and I asked her to let it go. And this morning, she woke up and was screaming, "Daddy, let's go find the lizard!" And I had to explain to her that it's out and about with her family. So, in a sense, we have a lizard. Let me ask you, David, do you have any pets?
No one's ever asked me that.
He's a wannabe pet owner. I can tell you that years ago, he had a hamster.
We've covered this story.
But he didn't take sufficient care over it, and he left it outside.
Otherwise known as you killed it. David, I want to get right to the point.
Yeah,
here,
we'll come back.
I love sufficient care.
You're going to take long.
Accent makes it. By the way, on a side note, do you know when you do improv in America and you want to play a smart character, guess what happens? We go to a British accent. But never in England do they say, "Ooh, let's play a smart character." the American accent.
Hello, Steve. Oh, how are you?
No, you don't need to do it. You already
would
have
you like a cup of tea?
No, you're
I can't switch.
You're an Englishman doing a British accent. This is so trick mirrory right now.
I know. It's
meta.
Meta.
This is fascinating.
Back to pets. The answer is no.
What's wrong, David? What happened when you were 12?
My issue is...
bumped his head.
You know, you never know what a dog is really thinking.
Oh, David, you're going to lose all your viewers.
And...
Well, we don't have any viewers. We just lost all our viewers.
No worries. Fastest growing podcast in the world.
No, David just doesn't like
that. No, I enjoy dogs. I like someone else's dogs.
Say, like boats. You like other people's boats.
Sure, I love other people's boats.
Sure,
big fan of your boat.
I don't have a boat. I don't have a
not
boat.
A fan of my own boat.
Fair enough.
But dogs I have no problem with. I just don't want to own one.
I get it.
It seems like a lot of work.
It takes a fair bit of looking after. It's a responsibility, man.
Plus, my dad is severely allergic, so we'll throw that in as well.
And I think to be
a... Your dad plays tennis, doesn't he?
We've talked about this.
First of all, this is not about... David's dad.
Oh,
you know what? I'm done.
I'm out of here.
Wait.
Slam it
it's over.
Slam it
it's over.
All righty. Well, thanks, Steve, for coming out.
Mate.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming out and spending a few minutes with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, in person as well. We don't often get a chance to do this.
No, next time we'll have to do it at his house.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I'll throw that out
there. Some advantage in doing that?
I have no idea. Seems like a lot of work to bring our stuff there.
Yeah, it does, actually.
But Les will have to do it, so what do you and I care?
Yeah,
so thanks to Steve for coming out.
Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, David.
We will talk to you later.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Take care. Bye now.
Cheers.
Well, that was an incredibly fun conversation.
That was an experience.
That was
an experience. I have to say that that was dynamic. That was engaging. And
I gotta be honest with you. You missed some of the best parts. Were not recorded.
So. Yeah. We'll have to
maybe release the outtakes.
Yeah, for our listeners, Steve and I got into it within about 2 minutes of meeting
each
other.
Not in a bad way.
No, in a great way.
We weren't like fighting on set.
We were fighting with words. I mean, it was just fascinating. Though. It really was. What a cool guy.
Yeah,
what
a great guy. A great organization and just that quick-witted and just a really, really, really cool guy.
One of the cool things, I think, and a question I asked him about the organizations he enjoyed working with the most and whatever, I thought was the thing about the services, servicemen. And I thought that was great. I think what a rewarding thing to do. You know, I'll give you let you in a secret. You know, perhaps in an afterlife, I'll come back and I'd like to do that sort of thing. You know,
hold on. Can we stop it? So in an afterlife, so after you die, you want to come back and be on the podcast
I want to come back and be Steve.
Oh, I thought you wanted to come back as a ghost and do the podcast.
Hey, maybe I will. Who knows? You know what you want to do? Just leave a microphone there for me, you know, with a coat draped.
Wasn't there a movie
with a t-shirt
that?
Draped over it? You know, heads in the cloud. There's old Graham.
Sometimes it'll vibrate.
Yeah, there's Graham's t-shirt.
Graham again. As we're getting so close to Halloween, too, this is only a fitting conversation. Yes.
Yeah, your children aren't really old enough to kind of appreciate what's going on with that, are they? Yeah.
Almost 3-year-old and
he's probably he's.
3-month old. Yeah. So my 3-year old is going to be dressed up as Santa Claus.
Oh, seriously?
Which I think it's pretty. When we asked him what he wanted to be, first off, he's obsessed with Christmas, which is a funny concept itself because he's been through two Christmases altogether.
Right.
We asked him what he wanted to be for Halloween. He said he wanted to be a bag of presents.
Well, that's kind of creative. That's
so
cool.
we figured Santa Claus was the next best thing.
So you're gonna take him around?
He's gonna be a Santa Claus, and our little one's gonna be an elf. And,
so why don't you? You know,
we're gonna have a little reindeer ears.
You know, I live fairly close to you now, and whatever. Why don't you put him in the car and bring him over to my place?
Maybe I will. What kind of candy do you have? It's a
We
run a tight ship on the candy.
You tell me what they're looking for, and I'll try and meet the demand here. So,
they don't really eat candy.
I'll sing for them. You know what I'm like?
Carol singers.
I'll keep them. Yeah, we do that. Yeah, I'll keep them fascinated.
So that's what. So Halloween's upon us.
That's great.
Maybe the last episode comes out, Halloween will be like long gone.
We're gonna do a Halloween episode. You think? Yeah.
A Halloween episode.
Yeah, the Halloween. Episode of Heads in the Cloud.
I don't even know where to go from that. But anyway, so I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah, most enjoyable talking to Steve.
Yeah,
so,
fantastic
you know, for
conversation.
Me,
no pets.
No pets. No, that was a negative.
He turned the question on me, which I didn't care for.
I think that somebody had to. You're the one that's got the obsession over pets, and you know, all you had was a hamster years ago, and what happened to that?
I had some fish too, but. You know, they all die.
That's a shame. But, you know, all seriousness, I can relate a lot to what he was talking about and the experiences that he brings, the concept of coins, mm-hmm. and whatever, and I play that back to him in terms of what I would have used as an executive of a previous company, getting into very difficult situations and finding points to be able to communicate over and hold your own and what have you. So
it's a lot of listening.
Just great. Yeah, it's fabulous.
As Steve points out, you walk into a room, pay attention to what's going on. Listen before you talk and pay attention to pictures on their desk, things they have on their walls. Do they just get engaged? Do they just have a child? All those little things, or just their birthday. Any of that stuff can be used to break the ice, to seal a deal. All that stuff can be used, and it's all about just relationships.
I let you in a secret with that. That's where the spaceship came from.
Why?
Because I researched him.
And what does the spaceship have to do with it?
Well, I saw him doing a video with some people, and he brought somebody up to the podium and said, "How would you climb into a spaceship?"
Ah, so it was a topic.
He
totally forgot because it was probably one of his.
No, he didn't. He knew straight away. I saw his eyes light up. Yeah. And what I was trying to do was get him to roll over on the floor and show how he rolled into a spaceship.
This is not a video podcast.
So, well, no, maybe one day it will be. I think it may be. You know. That was a bit of Halloween thing.
Halloween-y.
But yeah, I was playing some things back to him on that, you know, the laugh with, not at, you know, that type of thing. Just fascinating listening to somebody talk like that. So I understand our group, our team,
they had a great time. That's great. They really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite, by the
way. I have nothing to say to you about that. So, yeah, I think that's it for this episode. What do you think?
I think it is.
Should we thank our sponsors?
We
don't have any sponsors.
We'll thank our sponsor, but I'd like to put a personal thank out
Star to Star
to,
is our
sponsor. Crew,
yeah,
our studio crew, and it's the Right Honourable Frederick von
Weiss,
and Mr. Les Fried. Quick round of applause. Thank you very much.
Maybe we just add a laugh.
And this was episode 11 of...
Are you saying like episode 11 of like... Like it's going to end like episode 11 of 50, like where you have some sort of cap, or are you?
Yeah, I was going to break out into my. My spinal tap thing. You know what they are.
Turn it up.
Turn it to 11. Why 11?
Christopher Guest reference. I wasn't following.
Okay. Anyway, David, great
episode 11. Yeah.
Good. Oh, it's the.